Good evening. It's Sunday, April 9th, 2024. Having finished our study in Psalm 119, you know, one of the most valuable takeaways, at least to my heart, is David's down-to-earth prayers. When he spoke to God, he was simple, intimate, very transparent, and above all, he was so honest to the best of how he could describe his feelings, and he did describe his feelings very articulately. You know, God knew him better than David knew himself. The greatness of that is the promise that God does not change. Here we are, it's 2024, and God still knows each and every born-again one, well, each and every heart. He's the searcher of all hearts. But he knows each of us better than we could ever possibly know ourselves. We've all heard remarks about a close friend, maybe your spouse or a relative or your child. Maybe we've heard it said, they know me so well they finish my sentences. Or, they know what I'm going to say before I say it. You know, we can truly say that of God. God, unlike anyone else who might know us well, is able, willing, and more than ready to meet our every need, to listen and answer our every request. You know, no matter how simple, no matter how complex our situations are that we bring to him, he knows every iota of every detail, and he loves us unconditionally. He never turns us away. He will sit with us and fix it when we go to him for situations. You know, going to God throughout each day, it really is the wisest pattern in life that we could possibly choose. God is ever present, all knowing, all powerful, and he knows us through and through. And speaking of simple, straightforward, open-hearted prayers, here's one in Psalm 139. Verse 1, we start in the New Living Translation. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Isn't that the truth? Verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. You know, that's how much God loves us unconditionally. We don't deserve a bit of it on our best day. But his wonderful thoughts about us are without number. Verse 18. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you're still with me. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now, the Hebrew word for search is intriguing. The word here in verse 23 means to search through, to examine, find out, investigate, and to explore through and through. You know, the usage of this word, as I've thought about it over the week, it makes me think of a probe, P-R-O-B-E. A probe is a specialized tool with sensors used in taking measurements and gathering other internal information. You know, from the chef who uses a temperature probe to grill our steaks just the way we like them, to the research scientist who's going to determine DNA results. God gave his gift of Holy Spirit unto those who would believe. But remember, while that is true, when we drill down to the accuracy of our specific gift, the Word of God says in Ephesians 2:10 and Ephesians 4:24, there's two places, God created within each one of us our own unique gift. You know, in essence, our Holy Spirit gift from God was created within each of us to sort of match our DNA, because nobody has the same. Each of us received a custom-made creation on the inside from God Almighty. That's pretty high class, don't you think? Among the many workings of the Holy Spirit within us is the idea of a probe. Now, there's another Hebrew word that is often translated search, and it provides an excellent imagery also. It's in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, it says, "And thou, Solomon, my son," this is David speaking, "know thou the God of thy father." And of course, the God of Solomon's father was Jehovah. No other gods did David have before him. "So know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord," speaking of the Lord God, "searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." The Hebrew word here for searcheth means to rub, to beat, to tread, or to trample with the feet. Now, think of a path. How does it naturally develop? A path naturally develops along a way because people are treading and trampling on it with their feet. You know, we all know the phrase, "Let's beat a path." We beat a path from here to there because it's a shortcut. So with the Word in our minds and hearts, the gift of Holy Spirit is like a probe. It delves, D-E-L-V-E-S. It investigates, it probes, and brings truth together in our understanding so that we have a path in front of us, in our minds, that is so clear for us to see. Jesus told his disciples in John 14:26, that once the Father sent the Comforter, which of course is the gift of Holy Spirit, that it would teach them all things and bring truths to their remembrance. You know, I'm sure it's true for many of us, but there's been times when I've sat down to enjoy a teaching and I'm listening along and following, and boom, it's like the sky opened and I received a download of information that was just specifically to me. And that person, when they were preparing their teaching, you think I was on their mind? No. But I could have been on God's mind when He was working in them. You know, be it reproof, instruction, inspiration for going forward on a project or something that is kind of gnarly in life. You know, whatever I've needed. And that's the Holy Spirit at work. It takes the information that I receive into my brain and works with it to illuminate my spiritual understanding. It ties all the threads of the tapestry together. That's why James 1:5 tells us, "If any lack wisdom, don't ask me. Ask of God that giveth to all men liberally." You know, God, by way of the gift of Holy Spirit, is the way the eyes of our spiritual understanding are enlightened, as Ephesians 1:18 talks about. You know, you just got to appreciate the depth of 2 Timothy 2:7. In this letter, Paul is exhorting Timothy, and he says in chapter 2, verse 7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Now, as much as the Apostle Paul loved that Timothy, even called him his own son in the faith, Paul knew that he could not cause Timothy to understand. It doesn't matter how great of a teacher he is. The Apostle Paul's teaching ministry, I'm sure it was off the charts, you know. But no matter how good a teacher, understanding does not unfold to us through listening or note-taking skills. Those skills could be involved. We definitely have to listen. We might jot a couple of notes. But God gives the understanding as His Spirit within us works with our spiritual nourishment. It really is so simple and yet so intricately marvelous how God works. It's His plan. When we submit to His plan, life worth living happens. Now, I'm not saying life on earth will ever be perfect. The Word tells us that's not going to happen. But, you know, there remains a God of this world, and there remains human bodies that are not eternal. They don't last forever. It does mean that we are spiritually outfitted with brand new eyes. We don't need spiritual glasses. We've got spiritual eyesight. And it does mean that our peace of God can be perfect in our hearts to meet each day's demand, whatever that is, whatever our circumstances. Maybe one person has financial woes. Another has health woes. Another's looking for a job. Another has a lack of harmony in their family. Another one maybe has a special needs child. Everybody has imperfect things that they have to work around and trust God for in their lives. You know, all Paul could do for Timothy's understanding was to teach him the Word and teach him by the way Timothy saw Paul live his life. And then Colossians 1:9 talks about Paul praying for the believers. It says he ceased not to pray for the believers that they would desire the knowledge of God's will and to fill themselves with it, which comes from studying the Word, so they could enjoy wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that's why don't ever underestimate the power and the need for prayer, for believers everywhere, ones you've never seen, maybe ones you no longer fellowship with. But we are to pray for each other. We are to pray for all of the believers, all of our brothers and sisters, and the family of God. You know, everything in life is one or the other. It's either light or it's darkness. And it doesn't take a lot of spirituality, or really even too much common sense, to realize that a gruesome murder is an evil fruit from a dark mind. That's just the way it is. But don't we desire to have understanding at the caliber talked about in Hebrews 4:12? So reading, I want to read Hebrews 4 verses 12 through 16 from the Amplified Bible. And it says, "For the Word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, which is the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from His sight, but all things are open and exposed and revealed to the eyes of Him with whom we have to give account. Insomuch, then, as we, believers, have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in Him as Savior, and I'm going to add, in our Father as God Almighty. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Therefore, and I really love this verse, therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help in time of need, which means an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. You know, that's our faithful Father. So here we are in the here and now, praying for the return of Christ to be imminent isn't going to get an answer. It's not going to help us right now. You know, we know from the Word that Christ is going to return. We also know from the Word that He's going to return in the fullness of time. God will send Him to gather the saints in the fullness of time. But we don't know the fullness of time. You know, they thought the Lord was going to return 2,000 years ago. You know, soon after they got born again. Well, here's all this time, and God, the fullness of time is not here yet. You know, God will send Him to gather the saints, that we know. But we do not know the fullness of time. But do know this, God did not call us to be a victim. And Jesus laid down His life. No one took it from Him. Jesus wasn't sent to be a victim. You know, we read that scripture about no one takes his life. He laid it down on resurrection, in the Resurrection Sunday sharing. So not only do we have the power of God for spiritual excellence in this world, but the love of God that motivates our heart's actions works double time to earn rewards that be awarded to us at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. We can rest assured there will be more value that they, speaking of the crowns, will be more valuable to us than those fake gold, silver, and bronze medals some receive in this life. You know, their spiritual net worth, the crowns, the net worth of the crowns, they will exceed the value of gold watch at retirement, or 3, 4, 5, 6 Super Bowl rings. We're talking about crowns that are handed out in heaven for the way that we love God and love others on this earth. Being God's children, we do have the privilege, and we also have the legal right to go to Him all throughout our day with our thoughts of Him, our praise, our thankfulness, our prayers, our needs. He receives it all. He receives it all. You know, rather than wait until we're in the middle of a need and buried, why not just develop a lifestyle of remembering to cry out to Him daily for His gift within us, to make that diligent search of our hearts all the time. Be mindful of that the Holy Spirit would probe our intentions, our prayers, and our needs, that it would probe our intentions and our motivations. We can be confident He will receive our request. And we can be confident if our request lines up in the Word and He receives it, He is going to fulfill it. As we have covered so many times in our studies, it is our choice. we choose to seek Him. We put that welcome mat at the doorway to our hearts, and we embrace the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And by way of the new birth, through the working of His gift created especially in each one of us, our desires, our appetites and pursuits, they are going to line up with His word and will. And then you know what? We're going to feel better. We're going to sleep better. We're just absolutely going to be better. And things will go smoother, even in the days of adversity. Proverbs 16:3 says that our wise and discerning hearts teach our mouths and adds learning to our lips. And this is because in verse 22, right before it, it says, understanding is a wellspring of life to him that is wise. So the Father knows each of us. He fully understands our meditations, our thoughts. And as we cry to him, search me and lead me, He will always be faithful to lead us and to establish us within His will. We can hear a sharing. We can even like it. But knowledge flourishes into understanding and wisdom as we keep putting one foot in front of the other to keep His instructions that we study and read and learn and hide in our hearts. In Psalm 77, it is recorded that in a time of trouble, David's soul refused to be comforted. I've had those days where I'm just down. I'm down and out, and I have no plan to do much about it in the near future, meaning for the next few minutes. David had to work through that. We do too. And in verse 6 of Psalm 77, we read, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my soul made diligent search. So, realizing at times that we seem like we're at an impasse, we too can work through the thoughts in our minds. What is hanging us up? And the Holy Spirit, perfectly fitted for each one of us, is there to help us with that. We are able to nail it down. We're not going on a witch hunt. We're not just trying to find stuff. But when we have an impasse, God wants that impasse out of our way. Nothing is hidden. God sees us in that spiritual slump. And when we're out of options, when there's just no way to be comforted, we say, I better go to Him. I better be open. I better be honest, transparent. Give Him my needs. And, we realize all along that it's God that takes care of us. We may feel bad that we stayed in that slump as long as we did, but you know what? To God, when we hold up our hands and our heart before Him and say, Lord, search me and lead me, that is so admirable to God. He loves that. And figuratively, it must just really warm and bless His heart that at last, oh my God, there they are. They've finally come to me. A relationship with God that is at that level of intimacy and quality, it's extremely appealing. Because at the end of that is going to be the peace of God. It is going to rule in our hearts. We are going to enjoy His forgiveness and the intimacy of that relationship we have with Him. He sees it all. He loves us. He knows our every thought, our every intention. He knows our every deep desire, what makes us tick. He knows our hot buttons that set us off. He knows our weaknesses, and He knows our strengths. And He knows the way for us to go from wherever we're at. We're never going to be at a place that God can no longer lead us. God will always be there to lead us when we say, "Search me, O Lord, and lead me." And it is my prayer that our study today, you can go over it, and it can kind of stimulate some considerations in preparation for some of our upcoming studies, where we're just going to honestly, as children of God, as brothers and sisters, talk over some things that are covered in the Word and promised in the Word, and so that we can look beyond some of the situations that we find ourselves in and really reign in this life as God would have us to. So much love in the Lord. God bless you.